enjoy our young people, don't you? I enjoy hearing them sing, enjoy watching them, and I just enjoy seeing all the young people. That's one thing I enjoy. We're one of those churches that I believe in young people. I believe in seeing them participate, and I thank God for it. If you would, I'd like to turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles tonight. 2 Chronicles in chapter 35. I want to read a little bit tonight as it concerns Josiah. Josiah was a very godly individual. The Bible speaks about the fact that he began his reign when he was only 8 years old. That's the reason why that I love seeing these young people. I love seeing them participate in the things of God. But Josiah, the Bible speaks of here, was a very young man at his beginnings. He was a man who was a godly man. He saw to it that the groves, the high places were destroyed. The Bible says that he done everything right in the sight of God. He was an upright man. But yet, Josiah also made a mistake. The Bible says in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles in chapter 35, after all this, speaking about all the good that Josiah had done, how that he celebrated great Passovers, how that he was blessed beyond measure, and he blessed the people beyond measure. The Bible says here in verse 20, and after all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now, this Necho was a pagan king. You would have thought that Josiah was doing the Lord a favor here. But Josiah wasn't told to go against this man, was he? We'll go on over now. The Bible says in verse 21, but he sent an ambassador to him saying, and this is King Necho, and he sent an ambassador unto him and saying, what have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have a war. God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Now, I'm just sitting here and my imagination begins to go everywhere. I'm sitting here and I think about Josiah and I think about the life that he had lived and all the good he had done for the glory of God. And I see a pagan king come up. And he says all of a sudden, listen, I'm on your side. Your God's fighting with me now. I mean, what would Josiah think? What would be the thoughts of any one of us that would be maybe working up and down these roads, in and out of these little hollers, and maybe we come upon an individual that you know is not with God. That you know that is a living in open sin and doing all kinds of trespasses against the Lord God of heaven. Maybe even worshiping strange idols. What would your thought be if they come to you all of a sudden and said, your God's with me? I imagine I would probably be just like Josiah. Josiah spoke out. Josiah began to look at the situation here. Josiah took upon himself to defend God. And I use those little air quotes there and I throw them out there because God does not need any defending from any of us. But God will tell us when He wants us to move. God will tell us when He wants us to take action. And I believe that with all of my heart. I don't believe God just puts us here and acts and allows us to act on our own ambitions and our own desires. I believe God is in charge of moving His people when He wants them to move. So the Bible here goes on to say, now I'm going to continue this. Again, the king said, listen, don't meddle with God. And I can just imagine what Josiah, he was a man of God. Here was a man that done everything for the glory of God. And this pagan king is saying, listen, don't meddle with God. That's probably what Josiah was beginning to think. You better not meddle with God. But you know, sometimes, isn't it so that God uses things that humanity would not? Is it not so that Pharaoh, the Bible says, was put upon this earth for one reason? That was to bring God glory. And he done so through his own death. That's why Pharaoh was put here upon the earth. Many times we look at these situations in our lives and we look at the things that transpire and we begin to try to outthink God, but you can't do that. Now, the Bible goes on to say in verse 22, nevertheless, you know, after that, the king told him, don't be meddling with God's work. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but he disguised himself that he might fight with him and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archer shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, have me away. For I am sore wounded. Here was a godly man, a man that I believe was after God's own heart. Because he tore down the high places. He removed all the groves and all the idols were destroyed. All those graven images that were set up were destroyed. And they were destroyed because of his hand. He made sure that paganism was a dead thing in his eyes. But now, he sits and he says, I'm sorely wounded. His servants therefore took him out of the chariot and put him in a second chariot that he had and they brought him to Jerusalem and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah and their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in the lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, his deeds first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. I want to bring a special message tonight. It's a message that I pray will set revival thoughts in our minds. Listen, there are those in the world today that want to put a stop to God's people. They want to hinder the work of the Lord. And sometimes, whether we realize it or not, listen, we're going to see that there are even those Christians that will hinder the work of the Lord. We go back and we think about some different things tonight. I want to look at three things in particular. Three different instances where God's work was meddled with And it very nearly cost the lives of many. I want to bring a message tonight. The danger of meddling in God's work. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, Lord, as we once again bow before your throne, we do so with thankful hearts. Lord, I pray tonight that you will direct our minds. You would encourage our thought process tonight to delve deeply into the wherewithal of thy word. Father, as we look into this tonight, we pray that you will open our eyes. Help us, dear God, tonight to be in fear if we meddle against thy word, even ignorantly. Lord, I wish not to meddle in thy works. Lord, I pray that you will direct our minds and our thoughts that we meddle not or destroy that which we ought not to be touching. Lord, bless tonight. I pray, Father, you would empower your people to hear and understand. Forgive us, Lord, our sin in Jesus Christ's name, and amen. Emmanuel, the sermon tonight shows the folly of going against the God of heaven. Many are the casualties and often the forgotten ones who thought they were on the right side of God and His Word, only to find out after finding themselves in a whirlwind that they had inadvertently sown to the wind. Josiah went against this pagan king, but little did he know God was using this man for His own purpose. Oftentimes, people don't realize this until it's too late and they have to pay the ultimate price. So tonight, we're going to look at some examples of what can happen when one meddles with God's work and plans. I look at that word meddle, and you can see it's in italics, which lets you know that this word in particular is not found in the Hebrew. But the writer wants us to understand exactly what the gist of the story is all about. The king come before, sent word to Josiah, and he let him know that, listen, God is with me. Don't meddle with this work. That little word meddling in the dictionary means to become involved in somebody else's concerns or with somebody else's property in an intrusive and unwanted way. Or it means tending to interfere in other people's business. We look at Josiah, and this is the one thing that was taking place. Oftentimes, we have seen actions take place in, maybe it's been in a church, where somebody has stood up and made it their business, whether they understood the situation or not, and it caused havoc. But first of all, tonight, in these first 7 verses of Scripture, I want you to think about what Josiah had in mind. Josiah thought that his fight would be honored by God. I mean, look at all that he had done. Now he was standing against this pagan king. But God was using this pagan king to fulfill his own will. As we can see from God's holy word, Josiah was a man who began at an early age, 8 years old. Is when he began to reign, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He was faithful to bring back a copy of the law of God, which his forefathers had forsaken and was buried in rubble. He removed the groves in the high places. He destroyed the molten images. He accomplished a great deal of good for the glory of the Lord. As a matter of fact, in 2 Chronicles in 34, in verses 3 down through verse 7, here the Bible says that Josiah brings about the reforms. I just want you to get a glimpse of the life of Josiah. and how that he was a faithful man, how that he was a true man. It says, for in the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, and carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on the high, that were on high above them, he cut down, and the groves and carved images and molten images, he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Man, I tell you, you're talking about spitting in somebody's eye, now that'll do it, won't it? I mean, all those images that he had destroyed, he took and crushed to powder, and he covered the graves of those who worshipped before those images. This was a man. This was a manly man. This was a man who was after God's own heart. He loved the things of God. After he had grown into young adulthood, he began to really follow and seek after God. That's who I'm talking about tonight. Josiah, the righteous man. But Josiah did accomplish much good for the Lord. But in one moment of disregard, he was found to be meddling with God's plan. You see, God didn't tell him to go after this king, did he? God didn't tell him to make it his business to destroy this man. So when he went out to war against him, the arrows found their mark because that king wasn't through in God's business. But the arrows found their mark, and Josiah paid the ultimate price. It cost him his life. In 2 Chronicles 35, verses 22 through 24, this was the inadvertent mistake, but it displeased God anyhow. Be sure that you're not standing in God's way. Amen. You know, when I think about a Christian, I think about somebody that's saved by the grace of God. I truly believe that even in this day and time in which we now live, in the New Testament era of today, listen, I believe that the Holy Spirit directs the people of God. I believe it is the Holy Spirit's work to direct you in a way that will be pleasing unto God. Now think about that for just a moment. How often has the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart? How often has the Holy Spirit led you in a way that you know that without a shadow of a doubt that it was the work of God and He was directing you this way or that way? Listen, make sure that whatever you're doing, you're being led of God. Amen. Make sure you can say the Spirit that is leading. You know what? We look at this church covenant here. And in this church covenant, it says without a shadow of a doubt, having been led as we believe by what? The Holy Spirit. Folks, it's important to realize you're being led by the right Spirit. Amen? You need to know that the Holy Spirit is directing you and driving you in such a place that you'll be a blessing. You'll be an empowerment to the people of God. Be sure that you're not standing in the way of God. Pray and seek His face for guidance. You know, I'll never forget, 18 years ago, was actually a little over that now, but when I started and had succumbed to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to become a preacher of God's Word. I've been speaking publicly, and this is the way I say it, because this is the way the old timers used to say it. Speaking publicly since 2000, and I believe it's 2001, when the Lord began to get a hold of my heart about my seriousness, about being serious about the things of God.
God began to work in me. And listen, there was something that happened in me that I know without a shadow of a doubt that it had to be God. His Spirit was drawing me and molding me in such a way that I could not deny the power of God. I had a desire to preach, and I've never been able to speak publicly in all my life. Now I can't shut up. But I've told you this many times before, but I would stutter. I was a bad person to stutter. I mean, I could not get 4 or 5 words out at all without stuttering. I was a bad in front of people. I mean, I'd just lock up. I remember at the refinery when it come to a meeting or whatever, I always had a guy. You've seen those commercials about that one man who's always got a guy. Listen, I had a guy. He done all the speaking I had all my notes there, and they asked a question about this or that or what was going on here or what's going on there, and I would say, it's right here. And that guy, my guy, he would let them know. He'd read the report. I couldn't speak in a meeting. But the Lord called me. And I began to have a desire to preach. And it wasn't long that not only did I have a desire to preach, but I had a desire to be a pastor. In November of 2003, I believe it was, Brother Jim, if I'm not mistaken, you had called and asked me to come and preach over here on a Sunday night, I believe it was. It may have been October, I can't remember exactly. But I began to, as soon as I walked into this place, man, God had put a desire in me that I've never been able to get away from. God put a desire in me to do something and to be something that I'd never been before, and I've never been able to shake it. I've tried to shake it, but He won't let me. That's being led by the Holy Spirit. Josiah wasn't led to go after this king. This king was doing the bidding of God, and God said, you ought not to just leave it alone. As a matter of fact, the king said, listen, don't be meddling with God's work. You know why? Because you can get in trouble. You can get in trouble. Now, secondly, you know, that was an inadvertent meddling, so to speak. I mean, Josiah thought he was doing right. It was a sin of ignorance, but yet it was a sin. God said, listen, leave my works alone. Unless I drive you, leave it alone. Unless I encourage you, leave it alone. Unless I give you that desire, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Don't meddle in God's work. Now, secondly, I want you to think about this one. This is another instance where it's a deliberate act of meddling. We go back for just a moment to Numbers 22. In Numbers 22, we're going to see something that I know you all know where I'm going, but I pray that you'll go there with me. Numbers 22. Tonight, we think about Balaam. Balaam was a man who... He had a lot of things going on for himself, didn't he? He worked for himself mainly. I mean, he was a man that would hear God, but yet it's almost like it's whoever's paying him most. That's who he's going to cater to. If you want to say it like that. But Balak had sent for Balaam because the people of God were coming across his land, and the way that he looked at it, it was more than he could even begin to take care of. So what did he want? He wanted Balaam to curse him. He wanted Balaam to bring a curse upon the people so that he could overtake them and overrun them, or that they would look at him and would turn and run themselves. But that wasn't in God's plan, was it?
God had different ideas for the people of God. And listen, they were going through conquering everybody that they come in contact with. They conquered them and they won the battles. But here Balaam was sent for and he went before God. And God told him, he said, listen, this people is a blessed people. You ain't going to mess with them. And it's just the same today. You watch and see what Gog and Magog do when they try to come down against little Israel. Listen, she's still a blessed people. God will take care of business. Listen. When the battle of Armageddon comes forth, listen, there's nobody going to be able to stand against that God. Amen. They're not going to stand against that people and get by with it. But Balaam, if you remember the story here, he spoke, now I'm going to look at some of this in verse 1 down through verse 6, and the children of Israel set forward, and they pitched in the plains of Moab on the side of Jordan by Jericho, and Balak the son of Zephor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, and as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zephor was king, and the Moabites at that time. And he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. He knew the life of Balaam, didn't he? He knew that he was a man able to bring a blessing or a cursing, either one, and he wanted to curse him. You know, as I think about what is being said here, the Bible says in verse 9, you know, we think about the bribery and the payoff in verse 7, but in verse 9, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? God knew who they were, didn't he? He wasn't being tricked. Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zephor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said, now listen, this ought to have been where it stopped. This should have been where Balaam said, listen, God said, I'm through with it. Now think about this. God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. We understand that in verse 15, Balak sent more prestigious men unto Balaam and trying to talk him in, coax him in to bring in a curse. He began to talk to him in a way that built up his ego. He began to think, well, maybe this is not such a bad thing. See, isn't that the way the devil does people today? Began to build up the egos of individuals. You know what? There are too many preachers today that act just like that, don't they? Their egos are way up here where they ought to be down with the rest of the people. Listen, this man of God, we think about Balaam. Balaam, you know, God got mad at Balaam. God was kindled against Balaam. It says so there in verse 22, and as Balaam had rose up in the morning, he saddled his ass and he went with the princes of Moab. The Bible says, and God's anger was kindled because of it. Now I want you to think about something. You know, here was a man who was deliberately going against what God had already said. God had already said, listen, don't do it. You know, isn't it so that sometimes we will look and look and look and we will ask everybody in the world about an opinion until we get the one opinion that we want. I mean, that's true, folks. You know what I'm saying. We will ask everybody, don't ask the preacher. We know what he's going to say. Listen, don't ask the deacon. Listen, don't ask those teachers. We'll find somebody and they'll give us the answer that we know is right. We know that what we're doing is right, but yet you're asking all the wrong people, and the people that's giving you the right answer you don't want to hear. Balaam didn't want to hear what God had to say, did he? Balaam was interested in what those people of high demand was going to give him. He was looking for a little handout under the table, so to speak. So he was going to deliberately go against God. So what happened? He got on his donkey and he took a ride. You know, as that donkey come to a narrow place in the road, there's a wall on both sides, and it was actually just a path to get through. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord was over there in front of that donkey. And old Balaam, as they were coming through, you know what the angel of the Lord was getting ready to do? He's getting ready to take the life of old Balaam. Why? Because he had went against what God had first said. The Bible says that donkey took off and busted his leg up against the wall on one side. Man, you know what it's like when you got an old foul critter that's barn side. I used to have a horse. I remember one time I was breaking a horse and I had one that's barn sire. You could go down the road. Oh, I could get to my pond and that crazy thing would go to laying her ears down every time. As soon as I got by that pond, she'd lay her ears down. It's about 150 feet from the house. And she would lay them ears down every time. She'd try to buck me off. I went back to the house and I hollered into the house and I told Debbie Dawn, I said, get me that big round set of spurs, them big rounds. And I went in and I put them things on, and you know, they had chimes on them, you know. You could hear them just like these old westerns, you know, how you hear the men walking down the street and they're there. Their chimes were going against those spurs. But as long as that old girl heard them spurs, she heard them chimes going, she would take me as far as I wanted to go. I could go 10 miles one way and she would never lay a mirror down again. But as I was sitting there, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about what this old donkey was doing. Listen, Balaam began to kick a heart out of her, no doubt, and she tried her best to save his life. She was bouncing off both sides of the pathway and his legs, no doubt, were getting sore. He began to curse the old donkey. The angel of the Lord began to speak up and say, hey, what are you doing? She's trying to save your life. I'm paraphrasing here. But as I was sitting there and I was thinking about that, that donkey was doing its dead level best to save that man's life. And he was dead set of going through that pathway. He was meddling in God's work. And God was on the other end. You read on about the angel of the Lord here in this instance. And it talks about how he was standing against the Almighty. We're talking about the angel of the Lord. We're talking about, and what I believe is as what we have studied on the angel of the Lord in different instances. Not all of them, but in many of these instances. It is the Lord Himself. It is the Lord as He stood with His sword drawn, and He was about ready to separate this man's soul and body. You know why? Because he had went against God's work. He deliberately went and done what God had already told him not to. You know what? That's meddling with God's work. There's another instance, and I'm going to have to come to a close here. But this also was another man of God. Moses. Moses was a man that meddled in God's work. You go over to the book of Numbers there, and
You think about what Moses done. He was meddling with God's work and he was disingenuous in what God had told him to do. That word disingenuous means he didn't take things seriously here. He pretended to be what he wasn't. God had told Moses as they were coming through the wilderness, they were dying of thirst, and God had told him, said, listen, you speak to the rock. You know what that was going to do? That was going to show that all the power belonged to God. What did he do? The Bible says he come to that rock and he was mad at the people and he was furious. Him and Aaron both were furious with the people. I'll show them. He smote the rock. God told him, just speak to it. That'll show that I'm the one that's got the power and all the glory. But what did he do? He tried to rob God of his glory. And he smote the rock, making it look like he was the one that had all the power. He was disingenuous with what he was doing. He gave a false impression of sincerity. He made the people look at him when they ought to have been looking at God. Folks, I'll tell you what, it's easy. It's easy for preachers, too, to get caught up in things that they ought not to be caught up in. Listen, don't go praising this preacher. I ain't nothing. I'm the man of God. I realize that. But listen, it is God that does the work. You know, too many preachers today lay claim upon the act of salvation as if they're the ones that have done it all. Listen, it is God's salvation, not mine to give. It's God's. You know, you think about some of these men that have huge followings. The prestige begins to build. Before long, listen, they never give thanks to God, do they? They don't praise Him. You can come out and you can say something about the message, and you know, and anybody that said anything about the message will hear what I say. I say, praise the Lord. Praise to the Lord. I'm only a mouthpiece. I'm only a willing servant. But listen, Moses took it upon himself to make himself noticed. He wanted everybody to know he was furious with them. He was going to show them, I've got the power. You better do what I say or you'll die first. And he struck the rock. Isn't it a sad state of affairs when men try to meddle in God's work? Men try to take away the... Listen, I love preaching on the Holy Spirit. Because I know that God sends us the Holy Spirit to direct us, to guide us, to lead us. The Holy Spirit is also the quickening agent of the gospel. It's not the preacher. You know, I've heard people say, well, listen, nobody's getting saved anymore. We need to run the preacher off. You can run the preacher off, but nobody's going to get saved until the Holy Spirit begins to quicken an individual and bring them to life that they may see and hear and know the Word of God for the first time. You can run every preacher off. You can go to the greatest seminaries in the world and get the greatest preacher that ever walked. He cannot save nobody. Little old country preacher that's barely got enough education to get by. As long as he's following God, as long as he's as God is, the Holy Spirit is leading him, and he's doing what the Holy Spirit wants. Listen, God can use see what I'm saying? That old tongue gets all messed up sometimes. God can take that and use it. God can still use the words that come forth. He can empower that. He can save souls. Because the power's not in the preacher. The power's in the Holy Spirit, in the Word. Numbers 21 through 13, we see all the acts that Moses done. And Moses was told how to get the water to flow. And it should have been by the power of the Almighty, which it was. God still done it. But instead, Moses made it look like he was the one that had all the power. God was dishonored. But Moses paid the ultimate price. You know why? Because he meddled with God's work. He went against what God had said, thou shalt do. We can follow the life of Moses. Moses was told there in the middle and the last part of Numbers, you're not going in. You or Aaron, neither one of you going in. And all the way through Deuteronomy chapter 34, you see how Moses was shown pictures of the blessings of the glory land, but yet he wasn't going to go in. He was told that. You know why? Because he meddled with God's work. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 34, we see the episode where God takes his life. He was buried and no man knows where. Now the devil, he would like to get a hold of the body of Moses. As a matter of fact, it says so in the Bible. He ain't going to get it. Listen to me. Be wise. Don't meddle with God's work. Listen, if the Holy Spirit's leading you, listen, know that it's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says try the spirits. In other words, you need to know for a fact, listen, this is God speaking, this ain't the devil or his demon. You need to know for a fact that it's God that's leading you. Or you're going to get hurt. Or somebody you love is going to get hurt. Make sure you know that God's leading you. Don't meddle with His work. In other words, don't take upon yourself something that He didn't give you. You make sure that God is in charge of your life. Now, you say, well, how in the world can that be a revival message? Well, it really is. It gets us in the place where we need to be, realizing that God is the all-powerful. Amen? We're only his creation. We are his soiled prodigy. In other words, He created us right out of the dirt of the earth. And that's all we are. It'd pay us to listen. I'll tell you this right now. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that these men that we looked at tonight would surely have been better off if they'd just stopped and listened for just a minute. Instead of being hasty like Josiah was. Hey, Josiah was, he was ready for war, buddy. He's ready to go. This is a pagan king. There's no way that God's in charge of him. But he was. He was in charge of him. You never know unless you're close to the Lord or you can follow the Holy Spirit's leadership. Listen, church family, let us know. Let us understand. This church right here is a work of the Lord. The pastor's not over it. You know, I mean, I've had to make that statement many times before. The pastor's not over the church. Jesus Christ is over the church. This is His church. I'm only His spokesperson. I'm the under shepherd. I'm the one that's supposed to take the oversight. But listen, you've got to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Know that you're right with God. Let's all stand, please.